Yes, I can see the challenge of
Yeah, but
getting that to be very seamless and integrated.
the very unique kind of concept, and maybe could be a game changer, changer, very innovative solution. So, yeah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the On Track podcast. I am Zach Peterson. I am your host. And today we're going to be talking with Yoshi Fukawa, CEO of Tech Dream, also a distributor for NEC. And we're going to be talking about his recent Altium Live presentation, a new extension for Altium Designer, and some other very interesting things with regard to EMI, SI, and PI. Yoshi, thank you so much for joining us on the On Track podcast.
Yeah, Zach, thank you for having me on my birthday.
Oh yes, that's right. You told me today would be your birthday.
Yeah, Happy Valentine's Day! It's my birthday boy.
And of course, today on the day we're recording, it also just happens to be Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Works out like that sometimes, doesn't it? So just recently, a couple of weeks ago, you were presenting at Altium Live, and I was at Altium Live as well. Although I'm pretty busy myself, I didn't get to see every presentation, but it was nice to talk to you, afterwards on Zoom, and you had said that there was a new product that you guys have available as an extension for Altium Designer users. So, maybe we can get started and you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, before that, I would like to introduce myself first.
Oh yeah, of course. Sorry.
So, my name is Yoshi Fukawa from Tech Dream. I started Tech Dream back to 2002. Especially focusing on EMC, SI, PI, and also EDS simulation tool, and also PCB materials, based in Silicon Valley, California. Actually, this year we are celebrating 20 years. How time flies. And then what we carry is, as you said, EMI stream from NEC, which is today's main topic for EMI, design world check and applying resonance analysis software. But also, we also carry a near field EMI scanner from API and another PCB materials from Okumitsui Technologies, which is an embedded capacitor material or FaradFlex, and also high speed Hololos material from Risho in Japan. They are celebrating after 100 years old, a very old company in Japan.
Wow.
Yeah. But let's just focus on EMI stream today, for Altium.
Sure. Yeah. So I think maybe some of the newer designers don't necessarily realize how, the industry is set up like this, where you may have the larger vendors that build some of these tools or materials, but then you have folks kind of in the middle that are responsible for distributing and marketing these tools and really connecting people who have problems to those solutions.
Yeah.
I think before we maybe talk about EMI Stream, how did you get involved in this?
Yeah, for EMI stream, originally NEC in Japan, as you know, NEC is a giant company in Japan developing some products like telecom products, server router, and a computer, but also some consumer electronics like a PC, laptop, a cell phone, a smartphone. But they were facing real-world EMI problems. And then their internal EDA design team and the EMC team collaborated together to develop EMI Stream. Oh, I think almost 25 years ago. And they started using EMI Stream inside of the NEC, but started selling EMI Stream outside of NEC. In Japan, so they have maybe number of the users in Japan, and then they asked me to sell EMI Stream in United States to help engineers facing EMI problems.
I see. So it seems like I don't want to say that EMI is necessarily a new problem, But it seems like the company has, both you and then also NEC has, pretty rich experience addressing EMI EMC problems with these kind of, simulation solutions.
Yeah, they had originally maybe 150 design rules to solve EMI problems, but they narrowed down and focused on only 15 very important EMI design rules and implemented in EMI stream.
So 15 important EMC EMI rules. And I, when someone takes a list of 150 and narrows it down to 15, I sometimes wonder, how did you decide on those 15? Was it a survey of engineers or
That is very good question. I have to ask NEC, but I think based on their experiment and the simulation, they built a lot of evaluation board with, for example, return current bus discontinuity or bus split plane or high speed trace near edge or decoupling capacitor. They built the different evaluation board to see the decoupling capacitor location and compare with the simulation result experiments, and then actually they boil down to very important EMI design rules. So they reached to 50 rules.
I see. So the way this kind of works is I guess one of the features, because you mentioned a few different features in the intro, but I think the way or the way I understand like an EMI design rule working is it's checking the layout for design choices which might be electrically correct and manufacturable, but they could create an EMI problem.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, even passing DLC, we call the DLC for or DRF, design for manufacturing, DFM, DFM. Actually,
Yeah.
we may still have actually EMI problems. Yeah, from the bad layout or bad stack up. So it's really important to follow kind of good EMI design rule.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. And I know that in kind of the double-edged sword of CAD tools, as I've mentioned before, is that they let you create just about anything within the limits of their resolution. It's kind of up to you as the designer working with a manufacturer or working with a test engineer or a simulation engineer to actually determine whether or not that's going to hit, number one, your performance specs, and then number two, whether or not you can actually produce it.
Yeah, because without passing EMC standard, they cannot launch the products. That's a very critical situation. And usually, for the last minutes, just before launching the products, we find EMI problems, and then we have to go back all the way to maybe design a schematic stage or layout stage. To fix EMI problems. So it's better to consider EMI at the earlier design stage to shorten the time to market.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. And I think kind of applying the concept of design rules to EMI is actually really powerful because essentially what you're doing is you're pinpointing something in the PCB layout and saying there's the that's what the problem is going to be. You should fix that. Because I think the tendency is when when you have a product that you're ready to launch and you finished all your prototype spins and you're on the last one, you're ready to go into EMC testing and it fails. What the tendency to do is to just throw every possible solution you can think of at the design until now it passes your next round of EMC testing, which, I mean, those tests are expensive. People don't just do those for free. So it's so I like this idea of being able to actually have a system that says, we check these 15 common things or however many common things, and then it points out, okay, that's what's likely going to be a problem, and you go in and fix that.
Yeah, especially few very important, most important maybe design rules, including a return current path discontinuity, high speed trace crossing power and ground plane. So we have to keep the loop area minimized, so we actually the large loop area generate higher EMI, and also high speed trace over split plane is also actually very important to actually avoid to reduce EMI, and also decoupling capacitors are very important. And other checks like a differential pair check, if we have actually trace length difference or a phase difference actually due to skew, we may have a higher EMI. So that's kind of actually EMI design rule checks. It's very important to mitigate EMI.
Now, you brought up decoupling capacitors, because I've had some exposure to a couple of different tools that try to either essentially calculate like an optimum and then check what you have against that, or what they will try and do is they'll look at where they're located, and then if they're located incorrectly, they'll recommend where to place it. Or they just calculate where the near field emission is, and then it's kind of up to you to figure out where to place it. I mean, how does the decoupling capacitor feature
work? Yeah, we have actually two features for decoupling capacitor check. One is actually physical location, decoupling capacitor location check. As you know, closer to the power pins is better to locate place decoupling capacitors. But not only a distance between power and one, power pin to decoupling capacitors, but it's important the grounding stitching via to the decoupling capacitor is also important. So EMI stream checks the distance between power pin and decoupling capacitors and decoupling capacitors to the grounding stitching vias. That one is a physical layout check. But another check is we also have a power plane resonance analyzer, which we can see the hot spot for the resonance between power and ground plane. So if the we have higher resonance, actually it causes EMI, and not only EMI but also actually IC malfunctions. So we have actually enough decoupling capacitor, but EMI stream using peak method, partial element equivalent circuit model to divide power plane into LCGL circuit, and using SPICE simulation, we get a very hot spot on PC power plane. So we can see the decoupling capacitor effectiveness on power plane, like a PDN. So we can, if we have very hot spot, we can move decoupling capacitor onto the optimum location to reduce resonance, or we can add decoupling capacitors, or we can even reduce, eliminate decoupling capacitor for cost saving to reduce resonance, to minimize EMI.
So with the power plane resonance feature, that's actually really interesting, because I've read some journal articles, and I wrote an article on the Altium blog that links to a journal article that does what you're saying, which is essentially, it sounds like you're creating like a lumped element circuit, right? RLCG model.
Yeah.
So kind of like a transmission line model.
Yeah, we
but for
call
the PDN.
Like a bed spring model.
Yeah, no, I know the one you're talking about, right? Where you have like the inductors in 3D and then surrounded with capacitors.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that. So that's actually really interesting, because, you know, with a computer, obviously, with like if you try to do that by hand, like it's a totally intractable problem. But, you know, you're essentially running a SPICE simulation to solve this in a 3D structure. That's really interesting, because I would have thought that if you have a 2D layout of the power and ground plane pair, you could basically just do like a 2D, you know, boundary element simulation, or maybe 2D Maxwell's equations, whatever it may be, in that structure to get the resonances. So what made you guys opt for the SPICE approach versus like a 2D field solver approach?
Oh, 2D field, 3D field solver is very good tool, and also very accurate. We can get accurate result, but but it takes longer. The simulation time is very long. So EMI stream main concept is very easy to use, and a very speedy, quick analysis, because we may want to have many try and error type of analysis. What if actually okay. add decoupling capacitor? So we change the decoupling capacitor value or change the distance between power and plane. We may want to try a lot of kind of scenario, right? So we really need very fast simulation speed. So
And now I see the value of a SPICE model, because if you can just add a capacitor in, you're just adding it right there into the SPICE model.
Yeah, and also NEC developed faster SPICE engine. Actually, 20 times faster than standard SPICE engine. So I think if you installed a plane resonance analysis, it will be surprised how fast study plane resonance analysis.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's excellent. Because, I mean, like you said, you know, if it's a field solver approach, unless you can do some dimensionality reduction or, you know, geometry complexity reduction, you're right, it does take a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's actually interesting that you take the SPICE approach.
Yeah, when I do power plane resonance analysis or PI for Ferrotflex embedded capacitance material, I have to do many simulations with different thickness, different decay material. So actually, I really need a faster simulation to try and error analysis.
So yeah, so that's what I liked about the SPICE methodology. Yeah. Is, you know, you essentially can do the parameter sweep like you would in some other commercial SPICE packages, or even open source SPICE packages. But you know, you essentially automate that so someone doesn't have to build up the model themselves.
That's right.
I'm hearing.
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay. Yeah. So are those the only features, or did you I think you mentioned near field EMI as well?
Near field EMI, actually, we have another feature from power plane resonance analyzer, which we could predict the far field EMI. Okay. From PDN structure, because PDN power plane becomes patch antenna to radiate the EMI from the edge of the PCB. So since a plane resonance analyzer can calculate the voltage along with the edge, and using microstrip antenna equation, we can predict the far field EMI from this PDN structure. So we can play with a different decoupling capacitor placement or different stack up to see the far field from PDN.
So and when you say different stack up, like including, let's say, another power ground plane pair
to try
and add some plane capacity.
Yeah, or change thickness between power and ground plane, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. And I think most designers who don't do high speed professionally, or maybe they're just learning, they don't know a lot about embedded capacitance materials. Could you tell those folks in the audience about embedded capacitance materials and how PDN simulations play a role in what they're used for?
Yeah, that's right. That's how I show the customers how to use embedded capacitance material, because using embedded capacitance material, we could eliminate decoupling capacitors like 0.1 microfarad or less. We could eliminate maybe all of them. So that the simulation is a very powerful tool to kind of try and error or worry with analysis.
Sure, sure. So these materials are, they're essentially just like high decay materials.
High decay and very, very thin material, starting from 1 mil or less.
Sure, sure. And then high loss or moderate loss?
Loss is actually, we have mid loss 0.015 loss, and we also have a lower loss material 0.002, kind of lower loss material. But for PI, we may want to have a higher loss to damp the resonance. So
that's what I was just going to get at, because in for PI purposes, between the power and ground plane, you'd actually want loss. And I think whenever we talk about high speed, so many designers cue in on saying, well, you need to have low loss laminates throughout your stack up, and you need to have, you know, low decay values. But those two things are actually counterproductive when
it comes to
power integrity.
Yeah, for power integrity, yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. So as I mentioned before, you guys were was it you and a collaborator who were speaking at Altium Live? Were you guys doing demos of the EMI stream?
Co-speaker, you mean? Of course, speaker was actually from another Yoshi, Maruyama-san from NEC Solution Innovator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think he's the main guy for developing EMI Stream in Japan.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the EMI Stream extension, I mean, people can go and download it today and start doing PI simulations.
Yeah, just last week, we released officially. So if you go to Altium Designer and go to Live Extensions and Updates, you will see two extensions. One is EMI Design Rule Checker, and another one is Plane Resonance Analyzer. So you can try.
Actually, so the EMI...
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So the EMI Design Rule Checker, does that happen inside Altium Designer? It's essentially like another set of design rules, or does that have an external application?
As an extension, when you open Altium Designer and open PCB doc file, you will have another menu in toolbar with EMI Design Rule Check and a Plane Resonance Analysis. So if you click EMI Design Rule Check, automatically converting PCB doc file to ODB++ file, and then opening EMI Stream.
I see. Got it. Yeah, super simple workflow. Mm-hmm. Just accessible right there in Altium Designer, so that's great. Mm-hmm. And so what other tools and solutions do you work with that actually help people solve their SI, PI, and EMI problems?
SI, PI, EMI, what I carry is another product. Is for EMI, we have EMI scanner from API, which is using a robot to detect EMI from PCBs. Actually, we have an interface between EMI stream and API smart scan. So if you get the hotspot with a measurement from smart scan, but we don't know actually what's happening and what causes actually EMI, root cause we cannot find. So we overlap the measurement result with the EMI stream and find, actually identify the root causes, why it's radiating. So we have now interface between EMI stream and the smart scan. Another one is, as you said, embedded capacitance material to improve SI, PI, and to reduce EMI. And we have another simulation tool from Aurora, which is actually cloud-based SI, PI simulations. And also another one is absorbers, actually low-frequency millimeter wave absorbers and inkjet EMI shielding.
Really, so you can print EMI shielding directly onto your device instead of putting like a shielding
The device. That's right. Using inkjet printer, to reduce weight and the height of the.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, because certain conformal coatings have enough absorption at certain frequencies to be decent EMI shields. So I think that's a natural extension to go to just. We're going to inkjet print shielding on certain parts of the PCB to help suppress EMI, or I guess also guard against reception of external noise from some external source.
Yeah. But that's a really new technology. We have a lot of challenges, but now we are overcoming one by one. It's still R&D stage, but.
Well, I'm sure one of the challenges is a really seamless integration into the manufacturing process.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Because you wouldn't necessarily be printing something like that on a finished assembly, would you? Or would it just be on the bare board?
After assembly.
After assembly. Yeah, okay, so it would be on the PCB.
But we have to install the printer machine into the contract manufacturing line, right? Assembly line. So that's one of the challenge, yeah.
Yeah, so it has to come out of SMT, possibly go through cleaning, and then go into a printer.
Yes,
I can see the challenge of getting that to be very seamless and integrated.
But a very unique kind of concept, and maybe could be a game changer, very innovative solution. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think something like that is a better alternative than something like, a board level shielding, because first, board level shielding, obviously big and bulky, you have to plan for it in the layout. But then with board level shielding, it's kind of like, killing a fly with a hammer. Like it seems to me to be kind of like the caveman's way of handling EMI. This is a bit more sophisticated.
And a good thing for inkjet technology, we can apply not only shielding, but because before shielding, we have to apply the isolation layer, dielectric layer, actually, to avoid short. So in the dielectric layer, we can also apply the kind of magnetic material, ferrite type of material, to absorb EMI. Not shielding EMI, but absorb EMI like a EMI absorber sheet. So we have a lot of kind of unique features or opportunity, not only EMI shielding, but also EMI absorption, or maybe thermal. If we put the thermal, high thermal conductivity filler in the shielding layer, we can actually also solve thermal problem with the high thermal conductive ink. So this is very kind of unique, cool,
Yeah, that's it.
innovations.
That is very unique. It almost seems like companies have to develop these solutions because the laminates are so stuck in the past. Like, the most advanced I think we can get with laminates are like, something like Farad Flex, where it's essentially just embedded capacitance material, or like, Rogers, where they're getting the super low loss for RF materials. And so they really just address decay and losses, but they don't address anything else. So you're bringing up, absorption of EMI, board level shielding, and then now thermal. And so I kind of wonder, like, what's taking the laminate guys so long to give us any more advanced laminates? It seems like everyone has to come back and do something like this, where they're printing a specialty material onto the PCBA. Or is it just an issue that so many designers, they may not need those solutions, and so there's not a lot of market impetus to develop them. Yeah, so I mean, what are the some of the major problems that most designers, cite having, I guess, when they're looking for these kinds of solutions? Is it thermal? Is it SI? Or is EMI, EMC the most popular?
That's interesting. Good question. And we did a survey during Altium Live. The question is, what is your challenge of your PCB design? EMC or SI, PI, ESD, or thermal? Do you know what was that on top? Number one?
Probably EMC.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Because it's really the core of all the other problems except for thermal, right?
So the answer is just EMI. I think we put EMI, not EMC. I think EMI, but EMI was the actually most challenge. So
And I mean,
many
where did thermal sit on the
thermal.
list?
I don't know why, but the thermal PI is not so many actually on the bottom number fourth. I think EMI, SI, ESD, thermal, and ESD. PI. I remember PI was thermal.
Interesting. Because, the PI problem really is an EMI problem. And so you have to wonder how many of those EMI people actually have the PI problem, and so shouldn't PI be higher on the list?
I guess many Altium user is maybe a small size company, mid-size company. I think very, very high-end company are facing PI problem with high-end products. That's maybe one of the but I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe that's an explanation. Yeah, but I also wonder how many designers actually like have pinpointed that their EMI problem actually is the PI
I
problem.
think regardless of the frequency range or high end or low end, everybody may face a EMI problem.
Oh yeah, of
Regardless of
course.
the
Yeah,
frequency. That's
that makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
that's one
because it
of
can
the
happen
reason.
anywhere. Yeah, especially once it's like related to routing or something, and you route something incorrectly, you don't just see it at one frequency, right? Let's say you're routing a digital signal incorrectly and you create a huge burst of EMI. Well, then you see it at all frequencies because it's all the harmonics.
And
that would make sense why EMI, EMC is such a broad problem.
Yeah, so maybe for high-end companies, they have their own EMC department and the EMC engineers, so who can solve the EMI problem. But the small-size, mid-size companies, they don't have like, specific EMC engineers. So usually, electrical engineers or hardware engineers has to design not only circuit, but also tackle with the EMI EMC problems once they fail the EMC standard. So it's very important to consider EMI at the area design stage and also to educate WE or PCB designers for very good routing or stack up for EMC. So that's very important.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and to be honest, I kind of thought thermal would not be near the last. I thought it would actually be more of a challenge than ESD. But you said ESD was actually higher on the list.
Yeah. So many.
That's interesting.
Yeah, ESD.
So I think with ESD, I mean, does EMI scanner help at all with tracking where a device might experience ESD problems?
Yeah, actually, smart scanner has a capability of actually checking ESD immunity scan and a current spreading scan. We can actually solve ESD problem. But EMS team also has a ESD rule checker. We haven't released yet. But we have a specific module for ESD rule checker, so we will release, I don't know when, but maybe in a couple of months or in a year, but we have a ESD rule checker as well.
Well, anyone who's interested in learning about all of this, please check out the show notes. We're going to link to the Altium Live Talk. We will link to some information on the new extension. And we'll link to some other great resources that'll help you learn more about some of these tools. Also, Yoshi, do you mind if we put your LinkedIn profile on there so that people can contact you?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, we'll do that. And that way people can reach out and learn more and hopefully get a demo.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one last question I have with, bringing the board into your tool or into the extension, I should say. You know, with because you're doing like a SPICE based simulation for EMI, EMC, and for resonance analysis, all of the components matter, right? Mm-hmm. So they need to have some kind of equivalent SPICE model attached to them. But of course, manufacturers don't always release that, or you have to build it yourself, or maybe it just doesn't exist. And so, as a designer, you're focused on the layout, so you just leave it blank. Mm-hmm. How does the program deal with that?
For model simulation model, as I mentioned, we use a PIG method. So for PDN modeling, we don't need any actually model. And for components model, we only need a capacitor model. So we use SPICENET this format, which has ESL and ESR and capacitance value. So we already have a default capacitance value.
Got it.
Library. So you can rely on using these parameters. But if you have, you can import the SPICENET library from TDK or Murata. They provide their own equivalent circuit model, SPICENET model. So you can actually import and set into the EMI stream. But I investigated with different capacitor models from TDK, Murata, Taiyoyuden, Samsung, with their own SPICE model, SPICE format, with the standard model, EMI stream model. I didn't get significant difference. So I think maybe you could rely on standard model, the default models, and run simulation. So that actually, you don't need to set many models. Setting models, capacitor models, most time consuming work. So actually, your stream automatically import Altium Designer with a capacitance value or a part name automatically set into EMI stream. So it's easy, very easy, easy setup.
Yeah, and I suppose if the model doesn't exist, I mean, if it's a small enough package, mm-hmm. you know, the VIA inductance is going to mm-hmm. dominate, mm-hmm. so that's taken care of. Mm-hmm. You have the capacitance value because it's a parameter on the part, yep. so that's taken care of.
Yep.
And then if you wanted, you could just assume, like, what, 10 milliohm mm-hmm. equivalent series resistance mm-hmm. or something like this? Mm-hmm. So it's just, okay, so that makes, I think that actually makes a lot of sense mm-hmm. why, you know, once you get to small case components, it's mm-hmm. not going to make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, if you want to have more accurate actually result, you can set up an accurate actually capacitor model.
Yeah, and that's great that you guys have all of that information from vendors, because I, like you said, I know that going through and trying to assign models to every part in a board can be very time consuming.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is great information, and we're definitely going to link to as much of this stuff as we can in the show notes, and this has been a very interesting discussion, and I hope all of the listeners in the audience will go download EMI Stream, will contact Yoshi to get some more information, and hopefully get a license to use the extension. Yoshi, thank you so much for joining me. I know I first met you at PCB West a couple years ago. I'm hoping I'll get to see you at PCB West or PCB East
or
this
maybe
year.
DesignCon coming April.
I'm thinking I'll be hitting DesignCon this year. I've been asked so many times if I'm going, and I've never gone,
so I definitely need to go. Yeah, we'll have a booth.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. Oh, you guys are going to have a booth.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. So are you guys going to have the API setup or the robot setup?
Robot, they haven't decided yet, but for sure, Okumitsui FlatFlex booth.
Oh, I'll have to say hi to Robert.
Yeah.
Well, it would be cool if you had the robot set up, because, I mean, that's half the reason you walk through the exhibition floor is
right.
to see all the equipment.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Know?
I have to convince actually them to exhibit.
Thank you so much, Yoshi.
Yeah, thank
again.
You so much.
And I hope everybody enjoyed this great talk. And for everyone in the audience, tune in next time for the Altium On Track podcast. Don't stop learning, and like we always say, stay on track.